And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, if you remember last week, we talked about Paul on the road to Damascus. He's recounting his own testimony. It's noteworthy that after God shines a light into our dark world, you know, he calls us by name, and in this case, he called out Saul. He said, "Saul, Saul." Saul responded by saying, "Who are you?" This is the fundamental question every person must answer on the planet when they hear their name called by Jesus. Who are you? Next, the Lord replied, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one you're persecuting." And again, it's crucial to understand Paul was persecuting the church, but Jesus saw it differently. Something we should all be aware of. Jesus sees things differently than people. Jesus identified with his believers to such an extent that when they were persecuted, he felt persecuted. That is because he connects with our experiences. And finally, sometimes the Lord does instruct us to go somewhere without revealing where we're going and what we're going to do. It's exactly what happened to Paul on his way to Damascus. And the situation can only be resolved by him going, "Yes, Lord." Sometimes God's revelation comes after we've responded to his set geography.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, just remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? So you can email us during the show. Makes it easy. David@hemusincrease.org. Let me check real quickly. Yes, it is working. My email on my Chromebook is working. Although the Chromebook is kind of thinning out. I just want to say that. It's making little goofy image cracks right across it. But it's okay. You can still email me, David@hemusincrease.org. You can text me, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob! Talking to Jammin' Jacob, man, that's the same feeling you get when you are being appreciated.
Aww. Aww, that's so nice.
Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday to you, my friend. You are appreciated. So is this like the fastest part of your day? Like, you have your own stuff that you got to do. Does this the show, like, the fastest, or it's just the most unpredictable?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Definitely both.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, it definitely flies by. I've looked up at the time often and been like, oh, wow, we only have 15 minutes left.
Yeah, it's weird.
Goes by
it's,
fast.
It's like, I know it can't just be, well, maybe it's just you and I, but it's not the point. But I'm glad, though, that it is unpredictable, though. We're not always sure.
Definitely.
Yesterday yep. was.
That's what makes it fun, though.
Yeah, it's like, what's going to happen? I have no idea. Okay, so let's understand what the number's for, what's the text for, and what's the email for. It's for you to reach out to us. And you think, why? Because you are a big part of the show. Are you the entire show? No. Are you none of the show? No. It's all of us together. a lot of times when you'll hear me praying, it'll be because somebody texts me and said, hey, please pray for this. I don't really want to be mentioned. And then I'll gravitate in that direction. That's still everybody participating in the show. And that's the thing about prayer. I am, and you've heard me, I am oh so fed up of people going, oh, what are you going to do, pray about it? It's like, yes, because prayer stops the universe, changes the world, raises the dead, multiplies where there's no possible multiplication, brings about things that are absolutely physically impossible into being, strike at the very nature of logic and law, and answer natural processes with supernatural processes. So yes, I think we should pray about it. How about that for a response? It's like, how about that? I wish somebody would say that to this politician just like one time. Hey, you know what? Jesus said it was a good idea. You telling me Jesus is wrong? Not only that in the prayer process, but it's also this partnership with God. When you pray about something and you work with God and connect to God, that's part of your growing in Him. He is always there waiting to engage. You know, that remember that old line they used to use in some of the religious places, like, oh, God's too busy. That God is not too busy for anything. God exists outside of time. That means He can freeze everything and do what He wants while everything's frozen. You wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. He's never too busy, and He tells us that. And so it's important for us to understand His commitment to us. Prayers are an important part of that connection. Additionally, praise is an important part of that connection because it brings honor to the Lord. It recognizes what He's doing. It blesses the people hearing it. It blesses the person sharing it. It helps. And I don't know if you looked around lately or not, but all the help we can get is kind of a good idea. So it can be prayer requests. It can be praise reports. It can be any of that. It could also be Bible trivia. It doesn't have to be Bible trivia, but it can be Bible trivia. The question is, if it's Bible trivia, will you know the answer? Do you want to know the answer? And have you grown enough where you feel comfortable enough to share the answer? Here is your Bible trivia. The Israelites being in Jericho. What did God send to drive out their enemies? Ahead of time. God sent something to drive out the enemies of the Israelites being in Jericho. Did He send hornets, grasshoppers, or spiders? Ahead. Did God send hornets, grasshoppers, or spiders? Your answer, by the way, is in Joshua chapter 24, basically verses 1 through 12. Joshua 24. 1 through 12. Did God use hornets, grasshoppers, or spiders to drive things out ahead of time? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. In the meantime, we will do our DNA, because DNA is an important part of our functionality. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. It's the daily planet, which means you would get the paper every day, right? So spend time with the Lord daily. Jesus said when He was teaching people to pray, say this, you know, Father out there in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. That shows you Jesus taught that prayer should be daily. There you go. That's pretty simple, right? Do that. That's a good thing. That's D. Draw closer to the Lord daily. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. Never, never, never. While the world is blowing up around you, and it may, in fact, blow up around you, the great thing is that the Word of God is more sure, listen to this, than the foundations of the earth. So you either put your hope in man, nature, or God. And you should never make the mistake of putting it anywhere but in the Lord. Never be ashamed of Jesus or His words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which is just, I just love this because it's like, it's just the thing where if we can get out of ourselves, not that you never think about yourself, that's actually not accurate, but that you're not so focused with all your energy on yourself, on your situation, on your problems, you know, because that's what happens. We so focus, you know, everything, we exist, we laugh or cry only by what happens to us. It's like, that's wrong. We should share life with one another. The more people you add into your life in the kingdom of God, the more life you and I will have. Always be ready to serve for the sake and for the blessing of others in obedience to the command of God, and it also helps you focus on what he desires. Draw closer to the Lord daily, D, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words, and then A, always be ready to serve. We will review the trivia question one time real quickly, and then we're going to go into prayer. So let's do this question real quickly. The Israelites, when they were in Jericho, and this is towards the end of Joshua, what did God send out to drive away their enemies ahead of them? Was it hornets, grasshoppers, or spiders? Hornets, grasshoppers, or spiders? Your answer is in Joshua 24, 1 through 12. It's a very specific answer, by the way. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 as well. Send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So I want to pray for two things. I want to pray for opportunities for people, and I want to pray for finances for people. So opportunities are doors that are open. And in those open doors, let me say it this way, on those open doors, you know, it can be from the Lord. Even Paul said, I found a door open for the Lord, but he didn't have peace of mind. Sometimes the doors will open and it will be what he wants, but you have to be aware that he might have something else in mind. You and I have to be pliable before the Lord, not before us and our flesh, but before what the Lord wants. So the opportunities are the most grand or the most excellent moment for us to step in as the Lord gives us that opportunity, if that's in fact what he desires. The other part I want to talk about this is people are very worried about their finances. And I understand that. Okay. It's not like I don't sit here and go, yeah, I love the way it goes. You know, we put out X amount, we take in X amount, and there's no extra X amount. It's a nice way to say that. It's like that. I go through that just like everybody else. Like I have to tell my landlord, you can cash the check for rent. I mean, I've been doing that for years. That's what it is. Here's the thing, though. The thing is, the Lord is more than able, not just able, more than able to take the little that we have and to multiply it. The question is, do we have faith that believes he's more than able? So I want to pray for finances and for opportunities. Okay, just follow along. And if you don't agree, then don't say amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you right now. Love you. We worship you. You're phenomenal. I mean, just hallowed be thy name 1,000 times over. We just thank you for the graces, the protections we don't even know about, the kindness, your mercies, everything that you have granted us is so above our value. Your kindness far exceeds us. So, Lord, there's two things I want to pray for our audience. We have members in our audience right now that have opportunities. They are job opportunities, employment opportunities. And, Lord, we are asking you to make the answer clear as to whether they should walk through that door. Make it clear. And for those that aren't sure if it's even clear, make it appear so they can see it, and then give them absolute wisdom and direction. We're asking you now for wisdom ahead of time. Lord, sometimes, and I've gone through this, Lord, and you know this. I'm just, Lord, sharing with the audience, and you know what I'm sharing. Sometimes not getting an offer, not getting an opportunity makes you feel less about yourself. Take that away from people. We are your kids. We are children of the Most High God. We are blessed because you have chosen us, and we are yours, and you are ours. Let that be the value that every one of us has. Not job offers, not
words of praise, but that we're your kids and that you said you're awesome. That. And Lord, for those that are really struggling financially, you know every nuance. You know every hair on our head. You know every rebellious thought. I just can't figure out why you won't just drop $1 million in our bank accounts. You know everything we think that way, every time. But Lord, you are our resource and our source. And I pray that you would comfort those who are struggling so much, because it doesn't seem like it's enough. And that you would be miraculous in all of our lives and multiply. First, we'll look up to heaven and say thank you. But multiply. So much so that there's leftover that we can share. We need you in this, and we pray for this, and we entrust ourselves to you in this, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay, somebody is ready to answer the trivia question after having to wait for me to pray for so long. Sorry about that. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Gary. How are you feeling
That's
today?
Good. Well, I'm praying. I'm praying.
I love that. Well, I'm praying, Dave. Well, here's my response, Gary. Don't stop praying, okay? That's my response, all right? All right, let's do the trivia first, and then we're going to pray over you next. The Israelites being in Jericho, what did God send out to drive out their enemies ahead of time? Was it hornets, grasshoppers, or spiders?
Hornets.
That is correct, Amundo! And that would be, you know, you see a whole bunch of hornets coming, you're like, I'm out. I believe I'm leaving. I'm not hanging around. Especially, you're not talking about one or two. You're talking about hordes. It's like, okay, or whatever they call them. It's like, I'm gone. I'm out. I don't even want to stick around. You know, grasshoppers, you can jump over. Spiders, you can just go, gross. But hornets, they're in the air. They're going to get you.
Yeah.
All right, my brother, let me pray over you for the Lord to heal you and to bless you, okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. I love my brother Gary. I ask you to bless and encourage him. I pray you would encourage him. I do. I pray that he would have a sense of encouragement, kind of a bounce in his very heart and in his very mind. And we ask you to bring the healing power, the healing balm of Gilead into his life. That he would know the healing power. He'd be able to testify to the healing power. And not lightly or kind of or almost or close. Lord, the way you heal. Fully, completely, entirely, top to bottom. Bring that healing power in his life. Bring a great step in his life. A great sense of encouragement. A great sense of joy. Pour your presence into his heart and mind. And let him love you and enjoy you. And be blessed in your kingdom. We pray for our brother Gary in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. And I'll be praying for all of you. And God bless you.
You too, brother. God bless you. Okay, we're going to take our break because I ran long because what else is new? And then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 1. This is one of the first verses in my Christian faith that I learned, which is, you know, it's, you don't think about it, but when I first became a Christian, people would share this verse with me. I didn't know why. I was going to find out why, because God was going to set me free from a lot of drug use, but I didn't know then what was going on. I was like, oh, I keep hearing this verse. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. The freedom for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore. And do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. So now in our society, you say the word slavery and people start going, and then everybody starts freaking out. You know what? We're never going to change what the gospel is, and the gospel is the reality, the truth. We're not going to alter it for culture. We're not going to say it differently so people aren't offended. If you're offended, turn the radio off, okay? That's your answer. You've got fingers. Use them. Here's our, you got the ability to turn it on. You got the ability to turn it off. Here's the bottom line. Every one of us before Jesus Christ was in bondage to sin. Every one of us.
Now that we are in Jesus Christ, we are free from the penalty of that sin, and the Lord is working in us the process to overcome that sin practically. We've talked about it multiple times. You understand salvation from a little bit of a, you know, smart, not smart, multiple scripture point of view. Scriptures talk about salvation being past tense. Scripture talks about salvation being present tense. And scripture talks about salvation being future tense. But the only way that could happen is if, watch this, salvation is past tense, present tense, and future tense. See, it's the only way it can happen is because that's what it says. And so in that, we need to understand that from the past point of view, we are free from the penalty of sin. Yay! Currently, we're going through what is called sanctification, where we're being delivered. We're delivered from the power of sin, and we're learning in our own lives we don't have to live for sin. And then eventually, when we're with the Lord forever and ever, we will be free from the presence of sin, and there won't be any evil, any bad, any yucky. Okay? Cool. In the meantime, while the justification, while the penalty for sin is done, while the freedom is there, the sanctification process is the one where he makes you look like Jesus, now that he's pronounced you to be like Jesus, and that's the one you got to fight through. That's the one that you have to go, you know what, I'm free. I just don't have to do that. I don't have to. That, therefore, becomes a responsibility. Because the scripture says, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery, which means that you can. But if you do, it'll be your choice.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's Amen 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. You guys should actually know this one. Noah's Ark rested on which mountain? Was it Golgotha, Carmel, or Ararat? Which mountain did Noah's Ark come to rest on? Golgotha, Carmel, or Ararat? Your answer is in Genesis chapter 8, verse 4. Genesis 8:4. It's so funny because I can always tell when somebody answers the question, listen, with voice recognition. Okay, it's the same thing that happened to me. Because I when somebody has it sounds exactly what the answer should be, but it's all these different letters. Funny. It's like hilarious. I mean, it's just so classic. Anyway, Noah's Ark rested on which mountain? Golgotha, Carmel, or Ararat? Your answer is in Genesis 8:4. If you think you know the answer, let's see what you're saying. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org, into the text. We go. See how I use that? Text. We're in Acts chapter 22. It was funny. I'll pick it up from verse 6 because that's kind of where we're at. And I want to point out a couple of really major things. And if I get through half of this, I'll be very impressed. Just to let you know. But this is Acts 22:6. This is Paul recounting his experience of him encountering the Lord. And that's one of the things people need to remember. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John writing about encounters with Jesus. Not as much a history book as a testimony. So people should remember that. That would be very, very helpful. Here it is in verse 6. As I was on the road, we've covered this, but there's a reason I want to get back to it. As I was on the road nearing Damascus at noon, a very bright light from heaven suddenly shone around me. Talked about that last week. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to me, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, sir? I asked. And he replied, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one you are persecuting. So there are two big things here. You can't miss them, but they're very important to understand is we talked about the light coming into Paul's life, the gospel being the light. Jesus calls him out. I mean, the fact of the matter is the guy is blind and on the ground. Okay? Don't talk to me about free will and predestination. He's blind and on the ground. Actually, in a Bible master's class discussion, I said, you can talk about all that you want, but when you're blind and on the ground, there is not a lot of application to the rules. I'm just going to say that. That's just like, I think that was a done deal. So here, he's not, and then he's on the ground, and he hears the voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? You know what's amazing about this is, yes, he's going to be a chosen vessel, but Jesus knows his name before he's doing good. Before he's doing good, Jesus knows his name. So he knows your name and called you before you said yes. And here's something you and I need to remember. Jesus knows everybody's name. Jesus is the Lord. He knows all the names. And what Paul asks, I just love that he catches his name, calls us by name. He says, Saul, Saul, calls his name twice, which is kind of cool. And he says this. This is what Saul's response is. Who are you? Now, this is a genuine response to him not knowing. This is not a philosophical discussion. This would be funny with Christian existentialists here. This is where they lose their minds. It's like, you know, he was talking esoterically about, oh, stop. He's like, who are you? I don't even know who you are. I'm trying to beat up these Christians. Who are you? And then Jesus replies, I am Jesus of Nazareth. You want to know one of the titles that Jesus goes by? Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he tells Saul. And then he goes, the one you are persecuting. Now, you just know that after Jesus said this, how this must be affecting Paul, because you know it's coming together in his brain. It's crucial to understand Paul was persecuting the church, but Jesus saw it differently. I can just preach the rest of this, just teach the rest of this day. Jesus sees things differently than you and I. We have a perception that is limited. How's our perception? Kind of like we're knocked off a donkey on the ground and blind. That is our perception. We all think we're so wise. It's so funny. And I always think of this like, you know, the people that do the crochet and stuff like that. On the bottom side, you know, it's all the different strings, colors, you can't figure it out. But on the front side, it's a perfect picture with a perfect outline. God's view is the perfect picture with a perfect outline. The bottom side is the stuff you can't figure out. And you're like, I don't get what that is. But God knows exactly what it is. And here it is. Jesus is seeing differently than Saul, who in fact wasn't seeing at all. Now, how often is that true in your own circumstance? So Jesus sees it differently. He identifies with his believers to such the extent, I just want to say this, that when they're persecuted, he felt the persecution. And this is the thing I didn't say last week that I really wanted to, just the one line that I wanted to say over and over and over again. It's the one thing that kind of sticks in my brain. The reason that Jesus felt the persecution of his people is because he connects with us in our experiences. It would be lovely if people would stop thinking of Jesus as either some kind of ceramic doll or something in a little manger set or somebody who's just really mad at everybody all the time. Jesus connects to you and I in the feelings of our situation. Does that mean that our feelings are, you know, always operating in perfection? No, but he knows what we're feeling because the Holy Spirit abides inside of us and the Holy Spirit knows our process. And he knows the pain. That's what he knows. Should the pain be there for many of us? Probably not to the degree that we make it. In fact, some of us create some of our pain. I mean, that would be true. But it doesn't matter because Jesus connects with us. And he tries to, or not tries, he helps us in each step if we will yield. And what I love about it is that. This is Jesus going, I am with you. I'm so with you. When it hurts you, I know. I've had a lot of things where it hurts me. But he knows. See how cool that is? It's not just me going through it. He knows what I'm going through. Yeah, I need that. I need somebody to know what I'm going through so I can stay relatively normal. Well, I don't want to use the word normal. So I can stay relatively on the road. Let me say that. All right, somebody is ready to answer the trivia question, or they have a question?
No, we have someone wanting to chime in.
Okay. Fire off. We'll make sure we do the trivia before we exit. Let's send them on then through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Goodbye. This is Jay.
I'm sorry. What's your name?
Jay.
Hey, Jay.
Hey, it's Jay. I haven't called you in 6 months or so.
Oh, how are you doing, Jay?
I'm doing all right. The bone in the spine is still deteriorating, but I'm just living every day with the Lord, right?
Amen. Amen. We'll definitely
pray
for you.
I was in and out of the vehicle. I didn't hear the trivia questions, so if you'll ask me, I'll take a stab at it.
All right. I love it.
I wanted to comment on what you were just speaking on.
Okay. Let me do the triv first, and then I'll give you that floor for the comment, okay?
All right.
Noah's Ark rested on which mountain? Was it Golgotha, Carmel, or Ararat? You got it! There it is! Get it! Excellent job, sir. Excellent, excellent, excellent. All right,
there we
now
go.
Fire away. The floor is yours.
Okay, so you fell in love and married a woman. Is that correct?
Wait, say that again?
You fell in love and married a woman. Is that correct?
Yes.
And is there anybody on the face of this earth that you would protect more vehemently?
No.
Okay. So if the church is the bride of Christ and he is the bridegroom and somebody's coming along throwing his bride in prison and persecuting her, who is Jesus going to speak to very strongly?
Yes.
To say, stop.
Yes.
Beating my wife up.
That's exactly right. That's that it's not, and because he abides in us, it's not just an empathy, it's a sympathy. So it kind of like operating on a multi-level there. And that's a brilliant point to bring up. It's like, yeah, you are touching the very bride that he adores. And it's like, yeah,
Jesus is not some little genie in a lamp. He's not some little woven creation. Jesus is my husband. He is my lover. He is my protector, my savior, my all in all, you know. And we've got to look at him that way. We've got to understand him that way and understand that that's That's the way he put together marriage in the first place for man and woman is
a testimony,
so that we would understand marriage and so that we would understand our relationship with him.
Exactly. It's a testimony to the way that God connects to us, and so he puts that within our actual, just like the 7 days of creation. Like, I'm doing this for your sake. Follow it along. 6 days work, take out the seventh kind of mentality. It's like that's an example, like the Lord said, and that marriage setup is so that we can get how closely associated he is to us. And that is exactly right and protective, and that is a great, great, great illustration, Jay. It's just great.
Well, that's on the road, and something I is.
We're losing a little bit on that last one. You still there? Uh-oh. All right, Jay. Hey, I want to pray over Jay. I think we lost him on the phone. It's okay. That happens. Listen, it's technology. Everybody calm down. But we're going to pray over Jay because he needs physical health. So let's pray for Jay. Everybody, take your faith. Combine it with mine. Jay, we're going to pray for you right now, bro. Excellent call, by the way. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up our brother Jay. We thank you for his illustration. He's right, Lord. That's just so true. You are protective of us. You watch over us. You are our husband and the perfect one. And we just ask you, Lord God, as that perfect husband and as Jay being a part of the bride side of the family, that you would touch him, heal him, provide for him, strengthen him, fill his heart full of joy, change his circumstance, and give him a new song and put his feet upon a rock and bless him. Just like he blessed everybody in the audience, pour it back on him right now. Let him know that you love him and that he's highly favored in your eyes. Bless that man. Bless him the way he just blessed all of us. We ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal call. So Jay answered the trivia question with Ararat, so we're done on that. So what do we got to do? We got to exit, right? Is that what I got to do now? I got to exit because we're so far past. I don't even know what I'm doing. So what do you do now?
Unpredictable.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. All right, so you answered the question. Good job. It was Ararat. That was the mountain. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand this. Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's 3 ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker Toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored. Impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is 4 words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we are so far behind, I don't even know what to say. I'm not going to say anything. Just going to go on to it. Here's your next trivia question. People are like, you're going to still do trivia? Yes. You do the jokes? Probably not. Are we going to do history? Maybe. Here's your next trivia question. What was Jesus' hair like? Don't give me any commercial references. What was Jesus' hair like according to John's vision? Was it white like wool and snow, yellow like fire, or black like shadow? Revelation 1:14. What was Jesus' hair color? And let's not use... He used, you know, Brill Cream, or let's not use any of the hair dye. Okay. Jesus' hair. What was his color according to John's vision? Was it white like wool and snow, yellow like fire, or black like shadow? That is the question. If you think you know the answer, reference. I should probably give you the reference. I did give you the reference. Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. 1:14. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Going to send you up to the website because we need donations just like everybody else. And let me do this real quick here. Blah, 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 and we won't give you a whistle. That's my new favorite line. We won't give you a whistle. Check out on the website giving and lots of other stuff. HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Yes, sir. Now, when I do hear that, by the way, I do think of that ice storm that happened, like, was it 2 years ago, maybe, or whatever? And I remember when I couldn't drive. I couldn't drive down. Then I went back to my house, and I got out, and I opened up the garage. And coming back to my car, I slipped and fell on my – like Paul when he was Saul, just lying on the ground going, that's humiliating.
Yep. Yeah, I remember I slipped, too, on the driveway.
What's amazing, you know what's amazing about this? I grew up in Michigan. I grew up on a lake, so it froze. We were on the lake all the time in the wintertime. It's just like, what's amazing is that it's like, I know how to, it's like, not anymore. It's like, those days are over.
Yep, I slipped, and I was just looking for something to grab. I was like, here I go. Yep. Yeah,
it's just like, nothing more humiliating than being lying on your back going, okay, I hope nobody's actually watching this. That's what I was thinking.
That's when you get up and look around.
Exactly.
See that?
Yeah. Yeah, because you have to come up with a response pretty quick. What was Jesus's hair like according to John's vision? Was it white like wool and snow? Was it yellow like fire or black like shadow? Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. That will be your answer. Let me get right into the text. Here is the response after Jesus speaks to Saul. He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth, the one you are persecuting. Then he says this in verse 9 of Acts 22. The people with me saw the light but didn't hear the voice. Listen to verse 10. Very fascinating. I said, what shall I do? Wow. What shall I do? I love Acts because if you just slow it down, you will find out there are so many brilliant lines in here. Paul's next question is one of the most insightful questions, one that every one of us should not just ask upon salvation, but every single day of our lives. What shall I do, Lord? What do you want me to do? And that, by the way, is what he said. He said, what shall I do, Lord? Acknowledging immediately Jesus's place of authority. Get that? What shall I do, Lord? What do you want me to do? This question applies both broadly and specifically. What is my assignment? How can I honor you this day? Every day should be a presentation of ourselves to the Lord. We used to do that back, I think, in the second year of the show. We did that, the 10-second prayer. The 10-second prayer. We even did a count off of 10 seconds. Like, what? Somebody in the back, or kids going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Because in 10 seconds, you can say the most important thing of every single day. You can say, here I am, Lord, use me. What would you like me to do? It's like, wow. I'm just going to ask you this. And don't feel guilty. I'm not trying to guilt anybody. If I wanted to guilt you, I'd start bringing in some of the stuff my mom used to use. Here's what I'm going to ask you. Do you wake up and go, Lord, what would you like me to do today? Here I am. Use me. When's the last time you woke up in the morning and said that? Well, here's a great idea. Do it tomorrow. Do it tomorrow. You can do it right now. Lord, here I am. Use me. And that's really all you got to say. I'm saying the same thing, right? All right. Your trivia question. What was Jesus' hair like according to John's vision? Was it white like wool and snow, yellow like fire, or black like shadow? And the answer is it was white like wool and snow. That's the color that it was in Revelation chapter 1, verse 14. We'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
For this is the kind of high priest we need. Holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day, as high priests do, first for their own sins and then those of the people. He did this once for all when he offered himself. Now watch this. Oh boy, this is so unbelievable. Jesus is a unique kind of priest. He is your high priest. He is so unique. And you think, well, why? What is it that makes Jesus unique? And you already know, well, it's because he's, you know, born from the Holy Spirit and he's born from Mary. So he's fully man, fully God. And it's like, okay, I get that part. But there's something else that we miss quite often. And that is Jesus is undefiled, separated from sinners. And verse 27 says he doesn't need to offer sacrifices every day like the high priests do, first for their own sins. So let me explain this to you. When priests or petitioners or people are praying on your behalf, every human being has to deal with their own set of sins. It doesn't matter if it's the high priest of Israel. It doesn't matter if it's the high priest 1 year, 20 years later, 40 years later. There is something that takes place. It's the same dynamic that takes place when you spend time with the Lord and you come before the Lord and you thank him and you recognize the grace of God enables you to stand, because apart from that, the grace, apart from the mercy, apart from the love that comes from the Lord and the redeeming work from Jesus Christ that you receive by faith that he gives by grace, apart from that, you're a mess. And so when you come before the Lord, you're like, Lord, you know, please forgive me. Please don't be mad. Please, you know, don't chasten me. David said it great. Don't chasten me in your hot displeasure. I don't want to get you irritated. Nah, 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 nah. You see, when Jesus comes and petitions for us, he doesn't have to go through that. He doesn't have to be centered on himself to be forgiven, because there's nothing for him to be forgiven. He's sinless. He doesn't need to offer sacrifices for what he's done or for any of the lacking that he would have if he was a regular human priest. So when Jesus comes on our behalf, there's nothing. Get this. Here it is. There's nothing distracting him in his life. He is only focused on our well-being. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Before we do anything else, we have a caller on the line. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, it is Senor Robo in San Diego.
Hey, Senor Robo. How are you, sir?
For once, I could say I think you guys have better weather than we do. It's actually pouring rain here in San Diego.
Is it really? Oh, you know what? It has been nice. I got to say, the last couple of – now, we went through a real pretty good cold spell for there, but it has been real nice, 74, 75, sunny, very nice. Oh.
Ah, you're rubbing it in. Yeah, we're supposed to get rain for like the next 7 days. It's going to be gorgeous. Not
okay.
Really.
It's going to be gorgeous when everybody pulls over on the side of the road and goes, what is that? Anyway.
But I actually called to give you a little bit of a biblical joke that might brighten your spirits today.
Okay. I'm all open for it. I'm all available for it. The floor is yours, Robo.
If I told my wife, she'd roll her eyes.
Okay. Well, you know, I understand that. I have that experience on a regular basis.
Exactly.
Fire away, my friend. Go.
So here it is. Why didn't they play cards on the ark?
Why didn't they play cards on the ark? Why?
Because Noah was standing on deck. Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. Wait, I got to wait because Jacob's got to give you a sound. Let's see. There you go. You got a Jacob approval on that one, by the way. Very nice job.
Oh, beautiful.
Sir.
Apparently he was laughing, but somebody was.
Very
Maybe he should
good.
Be the one telling the jokes, David.
He should be. Oh, thank you. What do you? Why don't the two of you get together and have coffee? Okay. All right.
Sounds good to me. I take mine with light cream.
Okay. Good job, Robo. Keeping you in prayer. You keep me posted, though, right?
I will for sure, sir.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yeah, God bless.
You too. Bye-bye. He's too funny. All right. We only have limited time, so we'll do a fast history, super fast.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
All right, for those who don't know, today is National Texas Day. How about that? So you guys should be like, oh, that's good. All right, today is supposed to be No Politics Day. I will give $1 million to any news network right now that will do no politics for this next 24 hours. All right. Anyway, it's also Decorate with Candy Day. Okay. I mean, I don't know about the decorating part, but the candy part, I'm all in for that.
Oh, eat the candy. Yeah.
I mean, 1788 on this day, the steamboat was invented. Wow. Okay. That's pretty interesting. And then for those that really care about this kind of thing, it's National Dark Chocolate Day. Noelle loves dark chocolate. I'm not as big a fan, but she loves it.
Yeah, I prefer milk chocolate.
Yeah, me too. I'm like that. All right, let's get to the rest of this. We're not going to have time for trivia, so we're just going to have to listen. People are like, oh, that's it. I'm turning off. Thank you very much. I love you too. All right, here we go. Here's this last portion. This really a phenomenal portion. I actually shared this with somebody. And I won't tell who it is or how it happened, but it's a very fascinating story. So back to 2 Corinthians 22, verse 10, where Paul says to Jesus, where he saw, he says to Jesus, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord told me, now listen, there's three things. Get up, go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that you are to do. Now listen to what Jesus told Saul. And the reason I want you to listen is because this is pertinent today for you. This is that dynamic application principle I talk about on a regular basis. Get up, go into Damascus, and there you will be told all that you are to do. Sometimes the Lord instructs us to go somewhere without revealing what we're going to be doing there. This is exactly what happened to Paul on his way to Damascus. In this situation, many can relate to. Sometimes God's revelation comes after we've responded to his setup of a geography. That is exactly what happened to me in Texas. Go to Texas. Okay. What am I going to be doing there? It'll be told when you get there. Truth of the matter, I think, is that God doesn't tell us all the things ahead of time. Because then we will try and do some of those things in our own strength and power, and that tends to mess things up. And if you're not sure about that, I give you a reference point. Ishmael comes to mind, trying to set it up for God ahead of time. Sometimes the Lord waits for us so that we don't mess into it too much. So another situation I was in. It's just amazing. You just got to listen. So I'm in San Diego, and somebody who worked at the station came and talked to me, and they said, you know, I'm getting this sense that I'm supposed to go somewhere, and I'm not sure why I'm supposed to go there, and I'm kind of like, you know, I'm hesitant because I don't know what I'm going into, but at the same time, I really get this sense I'm supposed to go there, and I just want to know what you might thought of that, and how do you think about that, and I reviewed this scripture with them. The person ended up going to that place, got back to me afterwards, and said it was absolutely positively what God wanted. That he was absolutely in the perfect geographical will of God, and that once he got there, it became plain. And the reason that I bring that up is because God does not always tell you. Sometimes he will. So don't get legalistic one way or another. But sometimes the Lord will just say, go there. Why am I going there? Because I told you to. And you go. And see, the issue is not, you know, that God has to give you the blueprints ahead of time. The issue is that God has something in store and just doesn't think it's the right idea for you to know it ahead of time. And because he knows everything, he's right. So it does remind me of a minister. Some of you get offended at this. You shouldn't. You should never get offended. These are just stories that people share with one another. This isn't gospel or anything like that. But there's this one minister shared a story how the Lord had told him, hey, go into this park. And he goes into the park. And after about an hour being in the park, somebody comes along and he starts witnessing and the person makes a decision for Christ. Well, you can't. I mean, how do you beat that, right? So a little time goes by, and he gets that impression from the Lord. He's supposed to go to the parking. He goes to the park again, and he goes there, and he's there for an hour. He's there for another hour. He's there for another hour. And then after 4 hours, he goes home. So he's praying, fasting. Well, why did you have me go to the park? I mean, what was I supposed to do at the park? What was I supposed to do at the park? That's what I said. And the Lord whispered to him, I just told you to go there. See, we're always looking for us to know what it all is. Yeah, sometimes you just do it because God said so. That's why. Not every time does it lead to somebody making a decision for Christ. Sometimes it's just a matter of obedience. If the Lord puts it on your heart to go somewhere and you just know it's the Lord, he doesn't need to tell you everything ahead of time. And quite frankly, you don't need to know everything ahead of time. Again, because it's in our nature to then try to take control. Sometimes you just go in faith, kind of like stepping out of a boat underwater, right? Okay. All right, folks, you have been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22 and a half hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Who knows when a broken heart will mend? Broken hearts don't die, they just grow.
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.